Welcome to the ITSM Spectrum podcast, brought to you by Purple Griffin, experts in ITSM training and consultancy. This is a podcast for anyone working in an IT or project-based role, or those who aspire to enter the industry. If you're looking to further your career or upskill your existing team, or simply want to learn more about topics in your field of interest, then settle in and enjoy. Thanks for joining.
Hi. Welcome to our Purple Griffin podcast. This is the first of a series of podcasts we're hoping to run on a two-weekly basis. In today's podcast, I'll be talking to Dr. Andy Lowe, who is co-author of the BCS book AI Foundations, along with yours truly. We'll also be looking at the ITIL 4 practitioner course, CAI, Collaborate, Assure and Improve. We'll be looking at supplier management practitioner and SIAM, and also looking at problem management and root cause analysis. So let's dive in to the first of the four topics. Hi, today we've got Dr. Andy Lowe joining us to talk about artificial intelligence.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. Thanks for coming. Andy is co-author of the BCS book, AI Foundations, which he's co-authored with myself, and hopefully sales are going really well on it. So Andy's here to discuss AI, and we've got some leading questions for him. I suppose talking about artificial intelligence, one of the first questions is, what is intelligence? What's human intelligence?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. And really, we want something that's useful in that we want to be able to make sense of this big fashionable subject called artificial intelligence. So humans, the key bit is we learn from experience, we adapt, we understand and handle abstract concepts, and then we manipulate our environment. So we kind of engineer things. So if you want to be a bit more explicit about that, how has that looked in history? We go all the way back to Aristotle, who started off the idea of objects and how objects relate to each other, and that's led to the sciences and the study of sciences, natural sciences. And we use that in engineering, computational science, sociology, almost everywhere.
Right, so I suppose the next question then is, if that's human intelligence, what is artificial intelligence? What exactly is AI?
Yeah, so normally people jump in and look for a definition of this, and we usually go to the computational scientist definition. But reading around it and finding, and something that's useful, I find useful, is to listen to people who are very learned in this area, and they often describe artificial intelligence as creating intelligent entities. So almost kind of like creating what humans do, but intelligence can be demonstrated anywhere. So it's about creating intelligent entities.
And the other term that we see bounced about is machine learning. So what exactly is machine learning?
That's a lovely question. And being able to differentiate between machine learning and artificial intelligence is really useful. So machine learning is about learning from data. How can we use machines to learn from data? And history, if you look back in history again, we've had lots of examples of where machines have learned from data, from modeling the economy with an experiment, slide rules, calculators, things like that. Right the way through to these super things that we've got now, which are digital computers. And it's almost one of the enablers for artificial intelligence and machine learning is the fact that we've got supercomputing in the cloud where we can collect all our data and learn from that data. So one of the biggest growth areas is machine learning.
So could we say machine learning's probably just a subset of artificial intelligence?
Yeah, it is. But it's a very big and very important terms. These terms are often used interchangeably. But if we have a good understanding that machine learning is about learning from data and artificial intelligence is about creating intelligent entities, you've got a nice distinction there. So an intelligent entity could be an autonomous car. An autonomous car learns from its environment and then it plans and it moves its way through the environment by understanding its environment, measuring sensors, and then it actuates things like steering and so on and so forth.
So it's different to automation. Is automation...
So automation is a bit like how we produce tins of soup. We put materials in one end, and then we get our tins of soup at the end. But the key thing there is there's no learning from experience in it. So it's just a mechanical process that we've gone through. We've almost done all the experience. learning from experience in order to build the mechanical plant. It's right. Just automating, going through a sequence of steps.
So there's no learning.
It's not AI.
No.
Yeah, it's just automation.
Yeah.
Right, lovely. I suppose what one of the questions that is probably foremost in most people's mind is AI going to make them redundant? Are they going to lose their jobs?
I think I kind of understand why you've asked that question, in that people are naturally fearful of AI taking over their job. But the types of things that AI will hopefully be used for will be take away things like monotony or take away dangerous jobs where it's better for a machine to do it rather than humans. So if you gauge it instead of thinking about it as making my job redundant, think about it, what parts of my job would I like to make be redundant? And so if there's something that's monotonous you find boring, or if there's something that's dangerous and you don't want to do, that AI or an intelligent entity may be able to take that away from that role that you're doing. So rather than think of it as making my job redundant, it says, how can it enhance my job by making things that we can make monotonous and boring or dangerous, take that out of the job?
So manipulating massive amounts of data, which would take us days and days of effort.
Yeah, thank you. That's a lovely joke. Yeah, so we humans have got limited capability. We're very, very intelligent. We can do lots of things, but computers are very good at handling lots of data. And they're also very good at dealing with dirty data, missing data, things like that. So the techniques that we developed in machine learning can handle things that we don't understand. We can model it and simulate it and then learn from that kind of data. And also we can learn from vast amounts of data and collect large amounts of data from all over the world.
Thanks, Andy. It's useful. So advantages, I suppose you've covered some of the advantages there of adopting AI. Is there any other advantages?
One of the major advantages is how can you make your workplace more human? So one of the ideas is that that AI could take away the monotony or the dangerous jobs. So that gives, hopefully that would give humans more time so you can become more human. And some people think that we will be, our future roles will be humans looking after humans. So in terms of making your workplace a nicer place to be, yeah, there are some real advantages of looking at AI in redesigning your business. There have been some very good examples like Rolls-Royce where they've redesigned their business around a learning engine.
It obviously comes with some challenges and some disadvantages as well.
Yeah, you've got to manage that process and you've got to manage it kindly and be very precise with the human beings.
Yeah. Don't forget the human.
Correct.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Side. Yeah. In terms of where organisations should start, is there a sort of a starting point? Is there you must do it things in this sequence, or there are things that you need to include?
That's kind of like the holy grail questions. Yeah. Well, first of all, is to really understand that machine learning and artificial intelligence are not a silver bullet. They're not going to solve problems that we can't solve. The first step would be common sense. Make sense of it, and then get yourself and the people who are going to use AI to make sense of it and understand what it is. Ask yourself questions like, where's the learning from experience? And how are we going to use that learning from experience?
Right. So careful planning. Make sure we include ethics in our project plan.
Yeah, well, that's part of the making the sense of it, isn't it, really? So we want to want something that's human-centric, thinking about the EU. We want something that's robust, technically robust and reliable, and it has to be ethical, of course.
Yeah, because there's legislation coming out.
Correct.
And there's already outstanding legislation.
A lot of people who are concerned about the application of AI because the rate of change can be significant. And when you think about the sustainability of your business or the sustainability of finances or sustainability of the environment, if the change is rapid, then the effect on those systems could be significant.
Yeah. Purple Griffin has two courses and other training organizations have courses. There's the AI Essentials course, single-day course, and there's the three-day AI Foundation course. So who should attend those courses? Who should bother to go on a one-day AI course?
People who want to make sense of it. There's a simple answer to that one. So you feel it might be part of your career. So go on those courses to have a common language so you can discuss it openly and try and make sense of it, find out where they're learning from experiences. The 3DA Foundation is a little bit more in detail. So you're thinking then about maybe you've got an area where you might like to use machine learning or artificial intelligence, and that will help you identify what skills you're missing, because there are some specific skills in AI that you need. If you're an engineer or a scientist or a mathematician, you've probably got a lot of those skills already, and they may already well be using AI. So one of the useful exercises that we do in the Essentials and Foundation is where you're already using AI, and you'll be surprised. You're probably using a lot of it already.
So. Right. So but people like project managers, business analysts, people who do need to work alongside machine learning engineers. Yes. And
Because it spans, AI is a kind of a universal subject and spans many areas. So one of the things we've tried to do in Essentials and Foundation is to give people that breadth of understanding so they can go at least go find the people that could be missing in your team.
Yep, that makes sense. I suppose the $64 million question is that everyone's wanting to know the answer to. Is AI ever going to become conscious?
Is that a trick question?
Yeah, they're tongue-in-cheek, but do you think AI ever will become conscious?
I think that's very beyond it. I'm an engineer. This is totally beyond my remit. But trying to make sense of it, because you obviously come across these questions because people are fearful of AI. And as an engineer, we are responsible for what we put out there into the environment and social side. There's no real requirement for intelligence for you to be conscious. So the idea that consciousness can come from AI doesn't seem to link up. That comes from Anil Sith and whatever. However, the therapeutic understanding of consciousness, I can see having lots of benefits because, you know, in terms of healthcare, people with strokes or whether or not if they're in a coma, are they actual conscious or not? That is a very important area. Whether our intelligent entities or our machine learning, the thing that's first at the forefront of AI at the moment, it's possible that machine learning systems may interact with conscious beings. So we could have some kind of like quasi-consciousness where we've got people now understanding what's going on in our brain by connecting electrodes. So we might have conscious informed machine learning, but whether or not that can become conscious, I don't know. Digital computing is the big area at the moment. Everybody's going to need cloud computing and using cloud services for AI or machine learning. Will that become conscious? I suspect that's unlikely. The current thinking that it could be decades, if it ever will be. And the best we can hope for is that it could simulate consciousness and we can learn about what consciousness actually is.
Right.
But unfortunately, it isn't really conscious. The philosophers have fantastic debates on whether or not a simulation of consciousness is actually conscious.
Yeah, I suppose... It's probably not in our lifetime. AI could become conscious, but we're probably talking hundreds of years off.
Yeah.
And even then may never become conscious.
Well, as John Searle says, I've never tasted a simulated pizza.
That's probably a good point to end up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy. Hopefully we'll get you back to drill down into a bit more detail and things like algorithms and...
Sure.
All of the technical aspects of AI sometime in the future. But thanks for that. Hopefully it's of use to our audience to get an insight into AI.
So, thanks, Steve. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
In this section of the podcast, we're going to answer a few questions about one of the new EITL4 Practice Manager courses, CAI, which stands for Collaborate, Assure and Approve. So the three-day course covers five practice areas. Those practice areas are relationship management, supplier management, service level management, continual improvement, and information security management. So we look at those five practice areas from four perspectives, And those four perspectives are the four dimensions. So if you've done the EITL Foundation course, you'll certainly understand what the four dimensions are. So we look at it from those four dimensions, look at how those practices support the requirements to collaborate in terms of IT service management, how we provide assurance to our customers and stakeholders, and how we improve. So how we improve all aspects of service delivery. So dates are available for the course on our website. If you want to look at one of those specific areas like supplier management or service level management, then there is an alternative. You could take the one-day practitioner course. And again, those dates are available on the website. So if you're looking at the single practitioner course, again, you're looking at the practice from the four perspectives, from the four dimensions. So looking at it from the role, the process, the technology that supports the practice. Also looking at how we can use the capability model, which is key now to how we would implement the practice in an organization. In this section of the podcast, we're going to look at problem management and root cause analysis. So problem management is an area I'm passionate about. Having worked many years as a service desk manager, I don't like fixing the same problem over the same incident over and over again. So really interested in problem management and how we address recurring incidents and also how we prevent incidents. So there's a number of courses you could take for problem management. So there's the one-day practitioner course, which culminates in a 30-minute, 20-question exam, 65% the pass mark. So answer 13 out of the 20 questions correctly, and you're a practitioner in problem management. Alternatively, we have our two-day problem management and root cause analysis course. Probably should call it a workshop. There's no exam associated with it. It's how you would implement and manage problem management and how problem management interfaces with incident management, change management, continual improvement, and other areas. And we spend a full day looking at a lot of the different root cause analysis techniques, ranging from brainstorming to Ishikawa to Kapner-Trago, Pareto analysis, and lots of other techniques. So no exam associated with that. So it's fairly free format workshop, and we can work around lots of different examples which are relevant to the people on the workshop. The other course, which does cover problem management, is the three-day practitioner course, MSF, which is Monitor, Support, and Fulfill. And again, problem management would be one of the five practices included in that course. Another subject area we've been asked if we can provide some explanation about is supplier management. So there is now a one-day supplier management practitioner course. We look at the course from various perspectives, the four dimensions perspective. The course is primarily for people working in procurement, vendor management, project managers, anyone who needs to work with suppliers and manage suppliers. The course is again, one day, wholly focused on supplier management and the various interfaces to supplier management. Alternatively to the one-day EITL 4 supplier management practitioner course is the SIAM course, which is a three-day foundation course. So in SIAM, Service Integration and Management, We're looking at it from a bigger perspective. So we're looking at how we might be managing hundreds or even thousands of suppliers in an organization. So we're looking at the different levels in SIAM. So we're looking at the customer level, the integration level, and the provider level. And we're looking at it from different perspectives. So in terms of the integration level, whether the integration layer is managed by an internal resource or an external resource, or we have some sort of hybrid setup with a mixture of internal and external resources, or whether we have a lead supplier, maybe a strategic supplier in our organization that manages that level and all of the external suppliers and internal providers as well. And we also look at the retained function. So what function of IT do you still want to maintain in-house outside of the scope of SIAM, but obviously working with SIAM? So we look at how processes run across those various levels. So we're looking at change management. So how do we manage change, which is impacting, or our suppliers are impacting us with change? So how does that process work end to end? Also looking at information security problem, incident management. So looking at number of process areas, how we can manage and affect seamless quality and value for money in terms of a SIAM model. So I hope you've enjoyed those four topic areas. Thanks, Andy, for coming in to talk to us about AI. I hope you've enjoyed the insights into the three other areas. We hope to make future podcasts a bit more interactive, provide access to free resources, discount codes. So if you enjoyed it, please come back and visit us again. Like and subscribe, and we can keep you up to date with the latest information around IT service management and associated areas. See you on the next one.